And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Matthew 10:21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Test, 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 test.
It's going to give a good understanding is why we need help from God. So it's altar time. If you can't make it, just close your eyes and pray in your seats. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear my thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is anguished within me. The terrors of death assails me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. But God has the answer to all this that we're experiencing. Shall we pray? Gracious Jehovah God, Elohim, the Father, the Creator, we come to say thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to get out of our beds and to make it here, Lord. It's a blessing to be in your house. It's a blessing to be amongst your people, to lift up your holy name. And Lord, right now we want to start off with a prayer for those who could not make it today. Those who are sick in their beds, Lord. Those who had a desire to be here, Lord, but could not get up. Give them the strength, Lord. Help them to overcome the elements that's in their bodies, Lord. Help them, Lord. They need your blessings. And Lord, throughout the week we've had problems, Lord. Many of us had things happen to us while we're trying to do your will, Lord. When you come to Christ, we feel like we should be protected, Lord. But it seems like sometimes the more we do and speak your name, the more Satan is on us. Messing with us at our jobs, Lord. Messing with us in our families, Lord. Messing with us in every area of our life, Lord. We're asking right now, Lord, that you remove this evil forces that are trying to bring us down, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us with your mercy and grace, Lord. Help our children, Lord. Help our relationships, Lord. We know that people are struggling in relationships. First with each other, then with our loved ones. Lord, help us to learn how to communicate and talk to each other the way that Christian folks should talk to Christian folks. Help us not look like the world, Lord. You said transform yourself. Help us not to be like what's in the world, Lord. Help us to be what you want us to be. Each and every day, each and every hour, Lord, let us feel free to call on your name, Lord. Call on the holy name of Jesus. Please, Lord. Please help us, Lord. We need your help, Lord. We can't do this by ourselves. We got to learn to put on your armor, Lord, each and every day. The forces out there are strong, but they're not more powerful than you, Lord. That's just the power of deception. Help us from deception, Lord. Help us with addictions. Many of us are suffering from some type of addiction, Lord. Help us each and every day to just have the mind of you, Lord. Help us to learn that you're the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Remove the selfishness inside of our spirits, Lord, so we can worship you. Lord, we know that you are powerful. Sometimes we get confused throughout the week. Sometimes we lose our direction. But you said we call on your name. the holy name of Jesus, you can help us get through. Help us get through another moment, Lord. Help us get through another second. You can do it, Lord. We know you can. When you died, you said all power is in your hands, Lord. And we call upon that power, Lord. Right now, we call upon it. We call upon it because we need your spirit. We need you to bless us so that we can walk the way you want us to walk. Talk the way you want us to talk. Dress the way you want us to dress so we can be like you, Lord. That's what we desire. And Lord, help us today to embrace this word that our pastor is going to bring. Come through his mind and his spirit, Lord. Come through his soul and let us learn, Lord, the way that you ask us to learn. Let us be obedient to what we're listening to. Let's not feel like we know it all, Lord. Open up our hearts. Get some instruction and live this throughout the week and throughout our days, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you because we know that you are working through him and we need what you've given us. So just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Now, as we go on for the rest of this week, Lord, give us grace and mercy, Lord. Give us strength to face what we must face, to do what we must do, and to help us, Lord, in our situations. Help us financially, Lord. Help us mentally. Help us spiritually. Help us in every area of our life, Lord, as only you can. We just give you thanks for all that you've done for this week and all that you've continued to do and already has done for us without us even knowing, Lord. We thank you for those who are praying for our church and for us that we can continue to grow, Lord. Grow as a church. Go out there with your message of what must I do to be saved. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask that you continue to bless us. In your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
I've never known. tell you, Lord, I love you more than any ring. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you.
Tell him, sing to him.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Lord, Jesus.
Love you, Lord.
I worship and
I just wanted to tell you, Lord,
I want to tell you
that I love you,
Lord, I love you.
Yes, I love you
more than anything. Nothing compares to you, Lord, Jesus. Yes, I worship and adore you.
sing to him.
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Yes. I just want to tell you, I love you, Lord. I just want you to know that I'm not ashamed of my testimony. Ashamed in whom I put my trust. So make no mistake about it. I'm not shy about this. I love you, Jesus. And I don't care who knows about it. And you don't have to love him like I love him. But I just want you to know that I love him. And I worship and adore you. And I just want to tell you,
Lord, I love you.
Father, receive our worship. Receive our worship. Lord, as we sing, we sing out of the abundance of our heart. For you said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so in our heart, we feel with our love for you. We don't always show it. And I don't always act like it. But Lord, be certain of this. I love you. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. So receive my worship. Just as it is. My mind is not always right. And I don't always do the right thing. But know that my heart is right. And I love you. Thanksgiving evening, watching television, and every commercial was talking about the sales that was about to happen. Watching the news, Alderwood Mall was making preparation. It was cold outside. They showed Deaconess Moore a bunch of people lined up. Some had sleeping bags, others had tents. News reporter goes over to him and asks, why are you standing here? He said, we're waiting for a sale. And depending on the store, some opened at 5 in the morning. Others were opening at midnight. And so you saw where they had the paths marked out. And they had big guys and yellow windbreakers. And on the back it said security. Then over in the background, there was a band playing. And the newscaster was speaking to the manager of Alderwood Mall. And she says that the reason why we have all of these things going on is because we are making preparations to handle the crowds that's going to come for the sales. That as Best Buy, Circuit City, Macy's, and whatever your favorite department store is, was flashing their commercials on the screen, if you didn't pay close attention, in little bitty font at the bottom, some said we only had 20. If you weren't paying attention, if you just got caught up in the sound, if you didn't pay in great detail to what was on the screen, then you would miss the fact that there would be hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in line to get what they only have 20 of. And so they learned from the previous year because so many people got hurt. So in order to deal with the crowd, they brought in security. In order to deal with the crowd, they brought in a band. In order to deal with the crowd, they lined things up. In order to deal with the crowd. See, because they had learned from the previous year. And all of these things that they were doing was in response to what had happened the previous year. And what the manager was saying is, we are making preparations for the crowd. That we anticipate that there will be bedlam. That we anticipate there will be pushing and shoving. We anticipate that there will be unruliness. We are anticipating that there will be fights. And not only is it an anticipation, it is an expectation. After all, we only have 20. But we know that everyone does not pay attention to all of the fine print in the advertisement. So to deal with you who do not read, we have now some countermeasures to deal with that which we anticipate and that which we expect. And so as I saw this, I was blown away by the diligence and the determination of people who were so excited to get the first one. You remember when Apple came out with that iPhone? And they kept talking about it and talking about it. And then they would pan downtown in affluent areas where you see folk lined up day and night, all because they had to have the first one. Amen. And it showed me that we can get excited about things that we really want to get excited about. And it said to me the power of an image and something that we keep hearing over and over and over again, that if it is packaged right, you and I will respond to it. Not only will we respond to it, but we will do any and everything now to apply the truth that's found in it to our lives. How else can you explain folks staying up all day and all night instead of eating turkey, amen, and having some cornbread, amen, and you know, a little ham and a few pies. Y'all know, sitting around drinking eggnog and telling Uncle Such and Such, now that's enough. Yeah, come on now. Or A.T. Such and Such to put a wig back on straight. Come on now. Y'all know how it is when we have these family functions. Now you all know we got some crazy folk in our family. You know who gonna be drunk every year. Come on, you know who gonna go off. You know who to trust. All of us got troublemakers in our family. You know what cousin you can't trust. Come on now, you know you got to watch him or you got to watch her. Come on, you know that uncle or cousin that you got to put up everything. You got to take all the medicine out the cabinet. Come on. And there is a joy about this time of year. That even in its path, even in its fallenness, in its craziness, even in that which is chaotic, we look forward to this time of year. And it's interesting because as I look at this phenomenon that's created only at this time of year, that there's only this frenzy in this time of year. The summer does not produce this. The fall, this is this time of year. There's something about Christmas that gets people excited. But now Christmas has become so commercialized that the significance of it has been lost. As I'm watching the news Amen. Because I do watch news every now and then. I'm looking and listening at the president as he begins to deal with his response to not only the rising interest rates, but also the rising rate of foreclosures. And I'm looking at the fact that, okay, folks are losing their houses. And then I'm listening to the amount of money that has been spent towards the war. And I'm looking at now all of the rhetoric about immigration. And I'm looking at all the monies that's being spent to keep Jesus out of his own holiday. And I begin to think about some things that troubled me in my soul. And I'm looking at this thing not from a purely commercialized sense. But you and I need to understand that there are socio-religious and political and economic aspects to Christmas. That Christmas is not simply an economic boom, but Christmas has a significance that transcends trees, angels, songs, and glitter. That lost in it is a central message, an expectation, and an anticipation. See, last week marked something called Advent. Say it with me. Advent. The word Advent means coming. This is the second week of a six-week celebration. And what Advent is about is it is the anticipation and expectation of the people of God who find themselves in distress. It is now that long for, that yearning, that hope for deliverance. Advent is the time that we make preparation for that which is on its way. But the interesting thing is, if we are not prepared, we will miss that which is on its way. And so we are so preoccupied with getting the next gadget. We are so preoccupied with having the first, and you fill in the blank, that we miss the significance of the one who was born in the manger. See, the issue is not even so much of the baby, it's not so much of the birth as it is the death, amen. Because he was born and we are glad that he came, amen. But he also needed to suffer and die, amen, and then rise again in order for our salvation to become complete. Are y'all with me now? It's interesting because we begin this second week of Advent dealing with John the Baptist. It is interesting in this pericope that Jesus is mentioned last. But this whole story focuses not on the one who's coming later, but the emphasis in Matthew is on the one, John, right now. It is interesting because Matthew in his gospel portrays Jesus as Israel's king. Israel's coming Messiah, that when Jesus arrives, something significant is about to happen. See, because right now they are under Roman occupation. They are slaves in their own land. And I don't know about you. I don't know, if you have experienced being a slave either in your own home or in your own mind. But if you've ever felt constricted and locked down in your home or in your mind, then you have an understanding of what they're going through. But they have an anticipation because they've been waiting now for over 400 years. They've been in bondage and they've been waiting for God to do his thing. And every day they wake up and asking, Lord, is this the day that you're going to do your thing? Lord, is this the day that I'm going to be healed? Lord, is this the day that I will receive my breakthrough? Lord, is this the day where I will receive understanding? Lord, is this the day that my child is going to act right? Lord, is this the day that my spouse is going to act right? Lord, is this the day that my pastor is going to act right? Lord, is this the day that the choir is going to act right? Lord, is this the day? And they woke up day after day with an expectation and an anticipation of God breaking into their lives. John comes, and John's arrival is signaling something. That John's coming is telling us something. Not just because John came, but the reason that John is signifying something. Jesus says you can look in the sky, you can look on the trees at the leaves and tell something is taking place. You may not know when summer and winter comes, but you can look at the signs and tell that it's on its way. And so now when you wake up in the morning and there's dew all over your car and dew all over your grass, what that tells me, Brother Lee, is that summer is about to leave and fall is about to enter. See, when I come outside and I got leaves all over my grass, that lets me know that fall is about to go to sleep and winter is about to wake up. I don't know when it's going to come, but all of a sudden one day I'm hot and the next day I'm freezing. It is because the season has changed right under my nose. And what Christmas signifies is that God is up to something and he's about to break forth. And that those of us who are looking, longing, and anticipating will then be the recipients of what God is doing. Is this making sense? John comes. Now watch this. Israel has not heard a word from God for over 400 years. They have not heard a prophet. God has sent nobody. The last prophet they heard from was Malachi. And Malachi said that God is going to send John. He's going to send Elijah. He's going to send a messenger who will turn the hearts of the children or the fathers back to the children. So the last thing God says to them is you be looking because you'll be able to tell because I'm going to show you what he's going to look like. He's going to come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. So the Bible says John comes in looking like Elijah. John comes now, although he has a noble pedigree because he's born into the Levitical priesthood. He could have been in the temple wearing fine clothes, but the Bible says we didn't find John in the temple. We find John out in the wilderness. We find John not living plush, not eating steaks and drinking Cristal. He's not just chilling. No, he's eating locusts and wild honey. He don't have on the latest fashions. No, I bet you he ain't got nam bit of shoe or sock on. John is sitting in there with a leather belt on and some camel's hair. And John has one message and one message only, repent. Isn't that interesting that God has been silent for over 400 years and the first words that he speak is repent. He could have said everything is going to be all right. He could have said that your blessings coming through. He could have said all of that. He could have said, money cometh to me right now. He could have said all of that, but what did he say? When John opens up his mouth, John says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, because my coming is not on my own. The reason why I'm here, it's because God sent me. God, in his own providential wisdom, has been waiting until the fullness of time. That when our attitude and God's purposes line up, they converge. That now I'm ready to be used by God. And not only that, I'm ready to see what God is up to. You wonder why that all hell is breaking loose in your life and you wonder why you have no understanding. It's because our attitudes have not lined up with God's purpose. So God will leave us in the oven. He'll leave us all by ourselves. You'll keep losing jobs. You'll keep losing and failing in relationships. You'll keep having a heartache until you say, Lord, you are Lord. You'll keep going through it. Until you realize that you are not the boss of you. You are not your own boss. You think you're in control. But you are not in control of you. Somebody else owns you. Somebody else is pulling your coattail. Somebody else is the puppeteer. You're not in control. I don't care how smart, big, and bad, how pretty, educated you think you are. You are not in control. God is in control. And now he's breaking forth in this world and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. this John comes. And it's interesting because John marries the prophecy of from Isaiah in the 40th chapter beginning at verse 3. John now weds Isaiah with what's happening right now. That John, Matthew is writing and saying that God is speaking, and this is how you know that God is the one speaking. If you read your Bible says that I was sending someone. And now John comes on the scene, and now John says, look here, I'm here. I'm here now, and God is up to something. God says now, prepare ye the way. Amen. Watch this now. He didn't say that he was going to prepare the way. He didn't say that. Minister Simpson, he said, this is what you got to do. I'm coming. But you got to make the way straight. I'm coming. But you got to remove all the obstacles out of the way. See, because what will prevent me from reaching you is not an impediment that I put in front of you. What will prevent me from reaching you is an impediment that you put in front of you. And the only way that I can reach you is you got to get this thing out the way. You got to love me more than your addiction. You got to love me more than your habit. You got to love me more than your lust. You got to love me more than your obsessions. You got to love me more than your compulsions. You have to remove everything out of the way. Christmas is about removal. That's what Christmas is about. Walking around here. Talking about Rudolph. Santa. Y'all don't get mad at me if y'all ain't told y'all kids. I'm showing. Look here. I'm going to tell the truth. The only thing really I identify with, because I love those old Christmas things, is the Island of Misfit Toys. Y'all remember that? Y'all don't remember the Island of Misfit Toys? Y'all remember in Rudolph? The Island of Misfit Toys? There was an island with some unwanted toys. There was a Charlie in the box. He wasn't a Jack in the box. He was a Charlie in the box. They had a winged lion that went throughout looking for unwanted toys. They had a polka dot elephant. They had a cowboy whose gun squirts jelly. It was an island of misfit toys. It's where everybody went that nobody wanted. All of the toys were gathered there, all of them waiting every day, anticipating that one day Santa would stop by and pick them up. See, that's the only thing I identify with when it deals with this, the island of misfit toys. See, because I was a misfit myself. You understand me? See, I look here now. Y'all don't understand. The toys, nobody wanted them. See, they had to be around like folk that nobody else wanted. And they were waiting every day for somebody, longing for somebody to say they have some value. They were longing, and then one day, all of a sudden, Rudolph lands. All of a sudden, now Rudolph there, and their hope has come. That's the only thing that I can identify with the Santa Claus story. See, because I don't know about you, but God has come for the misfits of the world. That's what John is saying, that he's coming for the misfits, and this world is simply the world of misfits. It's not an island. That everybody in here is broken, and everybody in here is longing for some deliverance. That's what Christmas is all about. The message is that God has broken through in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his son has come and died for our sins in our stead, that he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day, and that he's coming back again. That's the Christmas message, that hope has been born into the world. Are you ready? Are you prepared for what God is up to? See, because unless you repent, you'll never see what he's up to. And it's interesting because the Bible says that John was out in the wilderness of Judea. Watch this now. John did not go to them, Reverend Davis. The Bible says that all Judea and Jerusalem and those in the surrounding regions came out to him. He wasn't in a pretty place. He was in a desolate place. He was in a place that only serious people come to. You know, that's what the church should be about, don't you know? The church should be not a nightclub, not a social club, not just a gathering. It is a place where us misfits and broken folk, people who are desperate for the Lord Jesus Christ, we all come together with our messed up selves and call on Him who's able to keep us upright. That's what this thing is about. And they come out to John. And John said, I just got one thing to tell you. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Make straight His way. You got to repent. He says, because repenting is in preparation to receive the revelation. You can't receive the revelation, that is, the unfolding of God in the flesh, until you first repent. You'll never get understanding until you repent. You single, you'll never get anybody if you're living foul until you repent. Your marriage will never be whole unless somebody repent. So stop praying, Lord, you make him right. No, you repent. Stop praying, Lord, make her right. No, you get right. Because you'll find the biggest impediment to the success of your marriage is not the devil, is not another woman, it's really you. I said a whole lot right there. You got my back? All right. You got my back? My keys are on my desk. Start off the car. We're going to run out of here. See, because we're looking for God to move. And God says, I'm moving. But there's something in my way. Get out of my way. Prepare yourself. And now I can act. Get out of the way. I'm going to turn your son. I got to shake your son or your daughter up. I got to break them. I got to hurt them. You get out the way. I get them straight. I get your husband straight. Get out of his ear. I'm going to get him right. Don't put your hands on her. I'll get her right. Don't you cuss out your pastor. No. I'll get him right. Don't you get mad at the musicians. No. I'll get them right. Don't you get mad at the ushers. No. No, I'll get them right. What you do is repent and you get your attitude right. You get your attitude right so you can see what I'm up to in your life. See, because I've been working in your life all of these years. I've been working to break you down so you can see what I've been up to in your life. Jesus is coming, but he can't come right now. See, Jesus is on his way, but he can't come right now because the world is not ready to receive her king yet. But God is telling us that John is not an isolated individual, that all of us who are born again are Johns. All of us should be living a sacrificial life. All of us should have one message and one message only. You don't have to go to seminary for this one. You don't have to have a doctorate for this one. You don't have to speak Hebrew, Aramaic, Chaldean, or Greek. All you have to do is tell somebody, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the only message we got to say. And I know that's a hard message this morning. It's a hard message. It's a hard message. But yet it's the easiest thing for us to do. It's interesting that the only thing preventing us from being healed and made whole is our own attitude. The Sadducees and the Pharisees come out to the wilderness and John says, who told y'all to come out here? He's talking to the fakers now, Brother Sonny. Who told you to come to church this morning? You wasn't serious about Jesus. You've been mad all service. If you read Matthew chapter 11, he said, Jesus said, what did you come out here to see? You thought you was going to hear your favorite song? Or maybe you thought you were going to see your favorite person. Or maybe you got hooked on the coffee and juice. What did you come out here for? See, because this place is for broken people. This place is for people who want to be used by God. This place is for people who are serious about kingdom business. That's what this place is for. And for those of us who don't want to get right, amen, don't play with God like that. It's best that you don't even come. Amen. If you ain't serious about getting your life together, it's best that you don't even come. Now look here. Now he loves you and he can hit you wherever you are. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that if you're going to come here, you come here with your hard hat on. When you come here, you have your pick in your hand with your overalls and your boots on, with your gloves and your canteen, because you're going to be here a while, that you come here and say, I'm here to serve, Lord. What would you have me to do? John denied all of the priestly rites that was due him because there was something greater than him, that God desired to use John in such an earth-shattering way that God, John says, Lord, here am I. Here am I. See, the message is you. You the message. You the message. Wherever you go, you speaking. Either you lying on God or you glorifying him. One of the two. But wherever you go, you speaking. It is interesting that John says repent. And it would have been hypocritical if he was saying that from behind the palace walls. But John was a practitioner, come on now, deaconess, of his message. He says, when you've seen me, you've seen the man. You've seen the message. And when you've seen the message, you've been experiencing the ministry. When you see me, my ministry, and who I am, my character, everything lines up. See, I'm not going to tell you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. Come on, I can't tell you, amen, to get your house in order if my house is all raggedy. I can't tell you to get your credit right if my credit is toe back. I can't tell you to get your marriage together if my marriage is all out of whack. I can't tell you to live right if I'm not living right. I can't tell you to love one another if I'm not loving you. Amen. I can't ask you to do something that I'm not first willing to do myself, that my message and my ministry has to line up, that I got to live this thing out. And John was so convicting because he lived this thing out. He had one message. Christmas is about repentance. And repentance hurts. Because all of us, did I say all, think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Let me say that over here, because y'all said it. All of us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And if God can just bring us down a peg, we can be used for him, Brother Lee. To prepare simply means to make something or someone ready. The Bible says, and I'm about to close, in verse 1, it opens with three words. Three words. It says, in those days, which signifies a certain socio-political atmosphere. That in those days, they were in bondage. In those days, folks were living crazy. In those days, God was not reigning. In those days. But now, God is about to introduce something new. And before there can be a paradigm shift, there must first be a paradigm shift agent. Times don't shift without a shift agent. John says, I'm not the paradigm shift, but I am the shift agent. That if you believe and get yourself right after hearing my message, now you will be able to see clearly what God is up to. God is about to move mightily in this place, but only those who have a repentant heart and mind will be able to experience what God is doing. If your heart is not right, you're going to miss it. If you wonder why your friend getting saved and you ain't, you wonder why blessings is falling over here and ain't nothing darting your door. Have you ever thought about that? Or maybe it's because your heart ain't right. Maybe God's just waiting on you to repent. And to repent means to change your mind. And not just to change your mind, but to change your mind towards God. Turn towards God. Not alcohol, not gambling, not smoking, not another relationship, but turn towards God. Get the idol out of the way and put God in his rightful place. God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator. He is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the final end. He is God, and beside him there is none other. He sits on the circle of the universe. He holds the seas in the palm of his hand. I'm talking about the Creator God. Let him be God. Let him be God in your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and turn your life around. You ain't in control of your life. Look at the mess you've made of it. Why would you continue to keep your hand on the steering wheel when you keep getting yourself lost? What kind of foolishness is that? God gave me 29 years to get my life right. And I was driving for 29 years, going around in circles. And then I had to come to a starting reality. I didn't know what I was doing. And the hardest thing to admit is that you don't know what you're doing. Some wives ought to say amen for that. Because you just can't tell us we lost. We missed our exit. Come on, y'all talk back to me now. We got it. I know another way. I know the back road. I'm going to get there. I got it. I've been here before. Charlie told me another way. We're going to hide by everything. Rather than admit that I'm wrong. And that's not just a man thing. That's an everybody thing. All of us got that issue. It's called pride. All of us are full of ourselves. All of us need some reawakening. All of us need a revival. All of us need God to quicken us again. All of us need to be resettled. All of us need a fresh visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. John has told us, and God in his wisdom has given us another chance. With every December 25th that comes, God has given us another opportunity to get it right. God has showed us that no matter where you've been in the past year, hope is on the way. I don't care how lonely you've been in the last 364 days, wait one more and help is on the way. I don't care how long you've been addicted, you just hold on. That when December 25th hit, that help is on the way. You just hang on in there for your deliverance, because your deliverance is on the way. Now understand, I have not forgotten. I heard every prayer that you've offered up. I've heard and I've bottled up every tear that you've cried. I've heard every moan. I've heard every groan. And now I'm on my way. I'm on my way to do something about it. And that's what John was telling him. Y'all just hold on. Y'all just hold fast now. God is on his way. Don't you give up. Hang on in there. Stand strong. Stand firm. Remember God's promise. Remember he chose you. Remember he called you out. Remember you are a peculiar people that God loves so much. Remember he called Abraham. Remember he promised Abraham. Remember that God is through it. Faithful is he that calls you, for he will do it. And the end of the story, verse 12. All of this is for the one that's coming after me. All of this Christmas is about the one who came. That's what Christmas is about. Every Christmas, when you see the baby Jesus, that's your hope. That's your hope. When you see the astrologers around them, the magicians, the magi, they were drawn by something. when they saw the star, when the angels praised, when the shepherds left the sheep, they knew something. The lowliest profession was a shepherd. And these men who were outcasts came with a message. He's here. He has arrived. Hope, that which could not be seen, could now be seen. God has manifested himself in the flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said, we saw him. We heard him. We touched him. We handled the word of truth. This ain't no mirage. It's not a fantasy. It's not a myth. God has come. Help has arrived. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're here now. Thank you, Lord, for now I believe. Now I have hope that I know it's going to be all right. Oh, Lord, I know it's going to be all right. So I throw my hands up, Lord. And, Lord, I say thank you because you've given me the greatest gift. No man could give me a gift like this. You gave me a gift that time can't erode. You gave me a gift that only you can unpackage. You gave me this gift, Lord. And for that, Lord, I say thank you. I said thank you. God has been preparing us. He's preparing us for Christmas. Don't you spend all your money. I don't want to look at the news and see you fighting over clothes. That's for the heathens. You know better. Christmas is not an invitation for you to shop for yourself. If you got to shop, shop for somebody else. Christmas ain't about you. It's about others. Amen. It's time for us to prepare ourselves, church, for his coming. That's why the songwriter said, let heaven and earth receive a king, or let every heart, right? Give him room. It's time. It's time. Jesus has been knocking on you. Not like a thief. Not like a robber. But like a friend. And you say, Lord, come in. He says, I can't. Because this door only has one doorknob. And it opens from the inside. There's no doorknob outside. It only opens from the inside. So the only way I can come into your house is that you open the door. I'm knocking. You open. That thing you've been asking God for. First, repent. Repent. Don't be afraid. Lord, is this what you would have me to have? And if you're afraid to pray that prayer, that's indicative that you have not yet surrendered. Because it's not about him. Really, it's about you. And I don't know about you, but all of us. Now, let me put myself make personal. I got some issues that I have not yet given him. Amen. There's some stuff. Not only do I like, but I love. And so I heard John. He said, James, repent. You've been praying and praying and praying. I was sitting up the other night just praying. Lord, I've been praying and asking about this. I've been praying about this for the church, praying about that. And here's his response. Repent. See, because I can't work through you. Because I'm not going to fight you. It's my church. They're my people. You tell them what I say, tell them. You do what I say, do. So now, Lord, what you want me to say? You tell them exactly what I told you. Repent. For the kingdom of God is not down the street. Reach your hand out. It's at the end of your hand. It's close enough. It's not there yet. He's close enough to us, but far enough to give us an opportunity to get ourselves right. And so I want to ask, do you want to get right with Jesus this morning? Come on.